Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is Monday, June the 11th, 2001. In the Quinonia Fireside Room this evening is Eunice Scarfe. Today's session number is 2001-1, and it's entitled Naming Your Story, a Writing Workshop for Everyone, Writing to Remember and Restore. Let's listen in.
House of
Winds?
Winds.
Yes. It's by someone who's Asian.
No. Okay. Did you find it here?
No, I thought it was good from home.
Okay. Thank you. Shana. And next.
I'm Eileen, and I'm trying to think of the right name. I brought a book from home written by a local woman, and her name is Jean Sealer, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's called something about ripples in the water. Mm-hmm. And it's she does a very good job.
Okay, thank you.
It's a Christian book, and it's about when you drop a pebble in the water and it ripples. Mm-hmm. It's kind of,
okay, strong image. Thank you. I'm in the middle of reading a book called The Best Spiritual Writing of 1998. And there's this best essays, best fiction, best spiritual, best poetry. I've never seen the best spiritual. And I read two essays before supper. And I found it in the house I'm staying in. We're doing the book we're in the middle of reading, or just finished, or going to read next.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Has everyone answered?
Mm-hmm. I just come around. You're just right in the right spot.
I'm reading The Vision of Emma Blau by Ursula Hage right now. And the one that I most recently finished was The Solitaire Mystery by Jocelyn Gardner from Norway.
Mm.
So,
I say because he wrote a book called
Sophie's World.
Sophie's World, which you might find in translation. And he is a school teacher who tries to explain philosophy through a novel. In real life, he's a school teacher.
This book is very philosophical, and I was in Norway, and I wanted to read a book by a Norwegian author, and it was about someone, a father and son, traveling through Europe, and so it was very fitting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's do one more round, and that is the book you'd write if you could, that you dreamed of writing, or that you planned to write, or could write, or might write. You know, let's just assume that there's a publisher waiting for it. That's not a problem. The one you'd like to write. And I won't make you all answer, because maybe you don't all want to write a book. Any ideas?
I don't want to write a book.
Well, you're off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
What kind, you want to come and write today, what kind of thing do you want to write? Like, we're writing together tonight. But you don't have to be wanting to write a book to be here.
Well, if I did anything, I'd want to write something on genealogy.
Ah, okay. Good. Thank you. Anyone else have a book in mind that they always had in mind? Poetry, prose, novel, record, document, journal?
In recent years, I'd like to write a collection of essays of kind of a combination of community and liturgy and the daily life and how they shape one another.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it'd be a reflective book or that's great. All right, I'm starting now for you at the tape. Now we are starting. I'm Eunice Scarfe, and I am a writer of short fiction, short stories, and essays, and I teach writing at the Faculty of Extension, the University of Alberta, as well as offer workshops around the country under my company, Saga Seminars. And I've been writing for perhaps the last decade or 12 years. Most writers have stories of starting at 18, 19, 20, or even earlier. I started writing full-time when I was in my late 30s and went back and did a creative writing degree at the University of Alberta. What I'm inviting you to do tonight is partake of a process by which you can generate new text, starting with a blank page, gather some of your words, perhaps a page and a half or 2 pages by the time we finish tonight, in order to have a beginning of something you might want to continue later, or it simply might be a journal entry suitable for a record on this day of June 2001. And I will give you a catalyst, a prompt, a suggestion, but it isn't an assignment. You may write what you like, based on anything that stirred in memory or imagination as I begin the opening. And I use a prompt, which is either poetry or prose, so that in the hearing of that prompt, you will hear the elevated language of sound and rhythm and image and substance or sense, subject matter. Because subject matter always comes embedded in the rhythm and image and sound of language. So I'm reading something tonight and then inviting you to write. And not only am I inviting you to write tonight and telling you that nobody has to see it, nobody has to hear it, but I am going to say that what we write in response to this piece, you're invited to read as part of Vespers tomorrow night. So this is quick turnaround. Within 24 hours, you can be broadcast to the world, published writer. We did this last year where we used this poem that I'm going to read, and then there's a very clear invitation for you to enter into your own story in the same way that the writer enters into her story and gather some of your own memory together, and you'll be invited to read. And we'll take ones from tomorrow's class as well. So you're not obligated to read tomorrow night. You're invited. I'll be reading the poem by Natalie Goldberg tomorrow night, and then asking those of you who have written today to read from your text. Now, do give us your name, will you? And
I'm
the book you're Christopher, and the book you're currently reading, I would like to read or just finished.
The one I just read was Partners in Covenant, the Spiritual Companion.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. We've just gone around and introduced ourselves. So, do you have paper? And if not, I'll get you some. Anyone need paper? Christopher, you want something? Maybe get a book, because I'm not sure that's very good to write on. What I'd like you to do is put at the top of your page the name of this poem, which is Natalie Goldberg, the writer, and the name of her poem is The Forgotten Ones. And it's possible I will also give you a second choice. I don't know if we'll have time to do Lot's Wife tonight. Probably we're just going to do the Goldberg one. But if we do the second one, that's the author's name and the title. So this is how it goes. I am adapting her poem a little bit for our purposes tonight, and I just want to make that clear, because in my mind as a writer, you never meddle with the writer's words unless you acknowledge that you've altered or borrowed. So I'll be changing it just a little bit, leaving a little bit out. This is how it goes. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, Jacob, God of Rebecca, Sarah, Ruth, and God of Lillian and Aunt Priscilla, with her yellow marigolds in Brooklyn, and the newsstand by the subway entrance. God of Esther, planting willows in Long Island, and pink hibiscus in Miami. God of Mother Sylvie Ann, with her story-lit eyes, and the mouth of wonder, and her soft, miraculous knees hidden under the cotton nightgown. And God of Uncle Martin, whitening into old age, on his mother's chair. God of the rootless ones from the old country. God of the rootless ones who wandered across this country. God of the lost ones who have no God, who stand in the streets of Chicago against a blistering winter. God of the forgotten ones in the army, and the forgotten ones in colleges, and the forgotten ones in Newark, New Jersey, after the rich moved out to their suburbs. God of lamplight and candlelight, God of roast chicken and freeze-dried coffee, God of skylines along the Florida coast, God of David, Solomon, Miriam, and Rebecca, mother of earth and small, lean, yellow salamanders, green-covered rocks by the slapping ocean, and swollen feet in the heat of humid summer. God of cars and wheels, of high rises moving out of the earth into the white sky, and the pink sky at dusk, and the gray sky at dawn. And mother of stars and noon and gull wings and great bands of turkey buzzards in the south. And God of the green trees and the soft moment we are alive at the change of the traffic light. And God and mother of weeping death and grief, tears in our eyelashes, bless us bless us through all the rivers of time. What has she done by moving back and forth from the biblical names that we recognize to names we don't recognize? What is she covering? What territory is she covering? And what's the effect on you of hearing this? If we were reading from the Old Testament, we would not have Aunt Priscilla. What has she done by doing this?
She's taken a larger story and interwoven it into the story, with it flowing into a personal story of her own. And it's hard to tell sometimes where one is ending and one's beginning.
It's the cadence of the Old Testament and the blessing of the Old Testament and the names of her people and her story and her history. In doing that, I agree, and in doing that, she's weaving the larger universal story with her own particular story. Can you sit in the front if you find a comfortable chair? Please join us, thank you. What I'm inviting you to do is modeled exactly on Goldberg, and that is begin with God of, and she takes Abraham, of Isaac, Jacob, later she says Rebecca, Sarah, and Ruth. You could pick those, or you could pick ones of your own choice, and then move into those who are your people. Name your people, name your story, under the introduction of God of. Our theme for this summer is, I have called you by name. And in this poem, or in the piece of writing I'm inviting you to do, I'm asking, can you name names of your people? Notice that when she names a name, she gives a one-line piece of information. Can you remember any of the ones you heard? They may have passed you by.
Hibiscus in Miami.
Somebody is planting hibiscus in Miami. Uncle Martin is whitening into old age on his mother's chair. So for every name, are you looking for the text?
Yes.
I'm sorry, it's next door.
I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. We had a sign that must have gotten removed. From then on, almost everyone she mentions gets one piece of information. When you talk about genealogy, this is one way to do it. There's no dates here. But she gathers together her people. And it is one way of almost making an outline of who your tribe is, your personal, my family. My generation, the last generation, those I remember, those who might still be here, those who are gone. So I'd like you to give this a try. Don't worry about the form. See what you can get if you name the names of your people. They don't need to be relatives, of course. You are describing your community, those you belong to and who belong to you. Notice the repetition of God of, God of, God of. It creates a cadence, almost like the liturgy you said you wanted to talk about. The last repetition is bless us, bless us, and you could start there if you wanted to. Bless Aunt Priscilla, the one who plants hibiscus in Hawaii, in Miami. You could start with either of those. They're repeated over and over. It's what links the sections together. Anyone want anything repeated again from this? Any line repeated? Feel free to borrow any line you remember. It's not plagiarism to use it to open up your story. So, what I'd like to suggest is that we write for 15 solid minutes. The best thing is not to pause, not to try to organize, not to try to be planet. Release the story, the names, and whatever comes to mind first about each of them. It may be that when you mention Uncle Martin whitening into old age in the mother's chair, you might end up with five more lines about him. Martin, who was in World War II. Martin, who came home without a leg. Martin, whose words have always been heard only by his wife. You know, you could end up expanding on one. You do whatever you like. There's no right and wrong. So let's write for 15 minutes, and then I'll invite you to read from what you've got, and then I'll talk about tomorrow night reading. But don't worry about tomorrow night. You write what you need to write. If it turns out that that is not to be heard by anybody, then you'll have time to write something else if you like. Write for the page in yourself. not for any other audience.